Talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of OK Pork, and we're here at the Oklahoma Pork Congress today. And Roy, you just finished talking about the African swine fever epidemic that's kind of going across the world right now. And this is kind of significant because we're at the one-year mark since this disease showed up in China. Kind of give us the lay of the land right now as far as this disease and its impact. And from what I understand, China's been fairly opaque in what's going on over there.
Yeah, China has announced, I think publicly, that they've lost something in the neighborhood of 1.4, 1.2 million pigs to the disease. We don't believe that that number is accurate. Rabobank is out this week with a estimate that they've lost as much as 50% of their hog herd to African swine fever. And it's significant because the disease, the mortality rate for the disease is roughly 95% for swine that get it. This is a swine-only disease. It doesn't affect people. Pork is safe to eat. I mean, there's no issues in that regard whatsoever. But for swine, the disease has an extremely high mortality rate. And it's very difficult to prevent. There's no vaccine for it. So the idea is once you get it, you've pretty much got it. So there's a huge hole coming into the world's pork supply, if you will. China's the world's largest pork producer, by far the world's largest pork consumer. And so with the losses that they've seen, whatever those losses may be, whether they're 20 to 25%, which is kind of what was being reported 4 months ago, to 35% that we were hearing 2 months ago, to now Rabobank saying 50%, you do the math, and it's a significant amount of the world's pork supply. Mm.
China is saying that they have most of their outbreaks contained right now. Do you believe that?
I think that the disease is just endemic in China, that it's throughout the entire country. It is very difficult to clean up. This is a very hardy virus. It will survive in the environment for an extended period of time. So it's very difficult for them to get it cleaned up and repopulate farms and get production ramped back up, if you will. Again, most experts are projecting they're 4 to 5 years from being able to replace and to grow their herd back to where it was previously. And that's assuming they get the disease under control now. For perspective, Vietnam broke with the disease about 60 days ago, 90 days ago, and they're reporting losses in the 2.5 million head range. We think that the reports coming out of Vietnam are very accurate. We think that's what's really happening on the ground, and you should have seen the same kind of spread, the same kind of impact in China. And that's just not what's being reported, and that's why the economists and so forth are not listening to the government numbers as much as just looking at what they can glean on the ground themselves.
Mm-hmm. And just based on the scope of this thing, obviously it's kind of taking the entire world by storm right now, and so obviously the impacts on trade are going to be significant and long-lasting, I would imagine.
Yeah, this would be a trade-limiting disease. If we were to have a break in the United States, all of our exports would immediately stop. We export today more than 25% of our product, so more than one pig in four is leaving the country, if you will. And the impact on that of losing that trade market would be economically devastating for our industry. Just no real way to put that into terms. 8 years ago, Iowa State estimated that an African swine fever outbreak in the United States would cost us $8 billion to the pork industry in the first year, another $3 billion to the beef industry, $4 billion plus to corn growers, and $1.5 billion, something like that, for soybeans. So the overall economic impact to agriculture, you know, beef, pork, corn, and soybeans, you're something in the neighborhood of $15, $16 billion annually. And that's an estimate from 8 years ago. So that number could be significantly higher today.
Yeah. Assuming that the U.S. is able to keep this disease out of its borders, it kind of goes the opposite direction. It presents some major opportunities for U.S. producers.
Presents some great opportunities. It appears if you use the numbers that we're seeing from Rabobank and some of the other economists around the globe talking about what the losses have been in China and other places, We're talking about a loss that's something north of 5% of all the protein produced in the world. So you're going to have 5% less protein in the world a year from now. How do you replace that? Well, you're going to buy pork from other places. You're going to move pork from other places. And whether the Chinese buy the product from the United States or they buy it from Brazil or they buy it from the European Union, there's going to be holes out there to fill, and there's going to be opportunities. Clearly, the best opportunity would be to get the trade issues with China resolved, remove the tariffs on U.S. pork, and then the U.S. and then it should be clear that U.S. pork would be a primary way for the Chinese to refill their freezers, if you will, with pork for their citizens.
So what is the U.S. actually doing right now to prevent this disease from coming in?
Doing a number of things. One is beefing up border security, trying to make sure that looking at incoming shipments for smuggled meat, for meat that's brought into the country illegally, maybe it's not smuggled, maybe, you know, we've all seen the pictures of folks that brought a pig's head in their suitcase because they wanted it for some family get-together. Things like that, USDA is doing is working tirelessly to try to make sure to keep those kinds of products out of the country. They're beagle brigades, if you will, where they've got trained dogs that look for nothing more than food in suitcases and in shipments coming in. One way that we work to keep it out. We have for years and years worked with cruise ships, cargo ships, international air flights, whatever. All of the food waste, all of the garbage that comes in from an overseas vessel, an overseas airplane, whatever, goes immediately to an incinerator to make sure we're not bringing disease in that fashion. And then we're preparing for responding to a disease. So working tirelessly to keep the disease out, but at the same time developing plans for how we would respond here in the United States should we ever have a break. And this area, Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Colorado, has been extremely proactive in bringing industry and then government agency together to talk about how we might go back to resuming movements of animals, how we might get back to business as normal following an outbreak, and how could we do that as quickly as possible.